This program is paid for by the friends and partners of Touching Lives. Welcome to the International Broadcast Ministry of Touching Lives with Dr. James Merritt. Here at Touching Lives, our mission is to touch the lives of the lost and enrich the faith of the found. And now, here is pastor, author, and speaker, Dr. James Merritt.
I think there are certain things that we deal with, and the reason why we get frustrated, and the reason why we get discouraged, and the reason why we get depressed, and the reason why we even can get suicidal is because we're dealing with things and we keep trying to find the solution and we keep trying to find the answer, but we finally give up and believe, you know, maybe there is no answer. Maybe nobody can help me. Well, yes, there is. And that's why we're calling this series, So Help Me God. Because there are times deep down in our lives, whether we want to admit it or not, we realize, you know what? If you don't help me, I'm out of luck. If you don't help me, there is no hope. It's interesting that here in America, we have a tradition no other country in the world has. We end so many of our O's with those words, so help me God. If you've ever served in the military, you'll take an oath and you'll end with these four words when you enlist, so help me God. If you've ever been commissioned as an officer in the military, you will end by saying these four words at the end of your oath as an officer of the military, so help me God. Presidents, when they take the oath of office, end with those four words, so help me God. If you've ever testified in a court of law, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Because deep down we know there are times I don't need anybody else's help, because nobody else can help me except God. So what I want to do today is deal in this series with three areas where we all need help, and I believe only God can give us the help that we need. Now, we're going to look at an area as we start off today where I believe everybody at some time or another needs help. I believe there are a lot of people right now listening to me. You need help in this area, and yet it's the one that we're least likely to admit that we need help with. As a matter of fact, you would think, when I tell you what the problem is, you would think that highly successful people never deal with this problem. You would think that highly successful people never need help in this area. I thought the same thing, and still I did a little research. And then I read an article entitled, Why Highly Successful People Seek Therapy. And I was, first of all, amazed, why do successful people seek therapy? And then I learned that one of the five most common reasons why people who are highly successful, rich, famous, go to counseling, get psychological help, and seek therapy. You know what the number one reason is? They said the number one reason. It's what's called imposter syndrome. I'd never heard of this before. The number one reason why rich, famous people go and get therapy and get counseling and get help is because they suffer from this syndrome where they feel they're still inadequate. They still feel like they're a failure. They feel like they're a fraud. They feel like they are a fake. I'll give you one example. Madonna, the richest female musician in the entire world, has a net worth of $800 million. Been at the top of her profession for 30 years. The epitome of the world's definition of success. One of the most famous faces in the world. Can't go anywhere without being recognized. Still sells out arenas everywhere she goes. Here's what she said. I have an iron will, and all of my will is always to be to conquer some horrible feeling of inadequacy. My drive in life is from this horrible fear of being mediocre. And that's always pushing me. Because even though I become somebody, I still have to prove that I am somebody. My struggle has never ended, and it probably never will. Madonna needs help. With Madonna. And there are times that I need help with me, and you need help with you. Because we've all had those times in life we feel like I'm not good enough. I am a failure. I don't know why anybody would have anything to do with me. I don't even know why she married me. I don't know why he married me. I don't even know. And we get into this comparison game. Why can't I be like him? Why couldn't I climb the ladder like her? Why can't I be where this person is? You can go to bookshelf after bookshelf, and the shelves are lined with books on how to have a better self-image and better self-worth, how to feel better about yourself. The problem is this: at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you do. It can be losing weight. It can be making money. It can be becoming famous. It can be plastic surgery. It can be photoshopping. It can be assertiveness training. But at the end of the day, you still don't feel good about you. You look in the mirror and you don't like who you see. And you are still a prisoner of what other people say about you and think about you. Here's what I want to share with you today. The problem is not on the outside. Your problem is on the inside. And what I want you to understand today is this. You'll never see who you truly are on the outside until you know who you should be on the inside. And only God can help you see that. Now, we're going to get some help today from the greatest source of all, which I believe is God's Word. And there are some words in a book that a man named Paul wrote to a church in Ephesus 2,000 years ago that really gives us the secret on how to have a good self-image and the real secret to having the kind of self-esteem that we all ought to have. So if you brought a copy of God's Word or you want to look on something else, we're in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, don't let that intimidate you. There are two parts to the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Go to the New Testament, hit Matthew, go east, you'll hit Ephesians. All right, you're in Ephesians chapter 1. Here's what you're going to learn. What you're going to learn today is until you see who you are and you were always meant to be in God, you'll never be what you should be or created to be in this life. Now, I'm talking to two groups of people and you both apply. You're a believer in Jesus or you're not. You're a follower of Jesus or you're not. Makes no difference. We all have the same battle when it comes to this self-image. We all have the same battle when it comes to self-esteem. And what you're going to find that Paul says today, he says to everyone, because what Paul is going to tell us is this: in Jesus Christ, I can be the me I was meant to be. In Jesus Christ, I can be the me I was meant to be. Now, here's what's kind of interesting. I know some of you are kind of thinking, wow, you're kind of going positive thinking on us today. That's kind of different. Well, what I love about the Bible is the Bible addresses everything. It talks about every single problem that we face. And as you're going to learn later on this message, I face the same problem battling low self-esteem as many of you in this room or many of you listening to me right now are battling this very moment. And I have found, once again, the answer to the problem is found in God and His Word. Now, here's what we're going to learn today. There are three things that you need to do, we all need to do, and you can do in order to be the me you were meant to be. Number one, you've got to recognize your position with Jesus. You've got to recognize your position with Jesus. Now, it's very important to note what we're about to read. Paul wrote to a group of people just like us, just run-of-the-mill, dime a dozen, everyday people in a church called Ephesus. And I want you to notice what he says to them. We're in Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to notice what he calls these people. He calls them, will you say that word with me? Let's say it real loud like you mean it. Saints. Okay, now I know some of you sitting there and go, whoa, time out. I'm no saint. I've heard many people, I'm not a saint. All right, well, let me just kind of correct one thing. There's no special class of Christians who are saints. Every Christian is a saint, and every saint is a Christian. The moment you become a believer in Jesus, you become a saint. Now, I love to be called pastor. That's a biblical term. That's my favorite term. I really love to be called pastor. But if you were to come up after the message today and call me Saint James, I'd have to accept that. Because that's exactly what I am. I am a saint. You are a saint. Because according to Paul, the only step you have to take to become a saint is to become a follower of Jesus, a believer in Jesus, and the cost is absolutely zero. As a matter of fact, I'd say something, I never knew this. I really never knew this before. Did you know the Bible hardly ever refers to a Christian as a sinner? Over 200 times, here's how the Bible describes a Christian. We're holy, we're righteous, we're saints. Because as a believer, you're a sinner by activity at times, but you are a saint always by identity. Now, let me tell you why that's true. This is where you need to get your head straight. You are not a saint because of your performance. It has nothing to do with your performance. You are a saint because of your position. Everyone outside of Jesus is a sinner. Everyone inside of Jesus is a saint. So in other words, if you're a believer, you're a saint not because of what you've done for God, but because of what Jesus has done for you. You're not a saint based on what you do, your performance. You're a saint based on what you, who you are, your position. So, first thing you got to recognize is this. If you are a believer in Jesus, you are a saint. All right? So, number one, recognize your position in Jesus. Number two, realize your possessions from Jesus. Realize your possessions from Jesus. Now, we live in a world, and you know we all do this, right? We compare ourselves, and the way we kind of measure our self-esteem is we kind of compare what we have with what other people have. So we look at the car they drive and the house they live in and the clothes they wear and the jewelry on their hands and on their rings, fingers and on, you know, their body. And we tend to measure ourselves by what we have compared to what others have. That's why we always try to keep up with the Joneses, because we measure our self-esteem by what we have. Well, if you are a believer, I want you to listen to what we have in Jesus. Listen to this. This is amazing. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Now, there are two words I want you to kind of put a circle around in that verse. One is the word "has," and one is the word "every." Now, I bet you've never thought about this before, but this is so important. We're not told that one day God's going to give us all that we need. We're not told that. We're not even told that God has given us some of what we need. Paul says we have already been given all that God wants us to have in order to be what He needs us to be. Now, let me tell you why we kind of get this all confused. We think the greatest blessings in life are material. That's why, you know, we buy stuff and we keep stuff and we store stuff and we have stuff, because we think the greatest blessings in life are material. Let me prove to you why they're not. The reason why I know that the greatest blessings in life are not material is because you're either going to lose them or you're going to leave them. One way or the other, you're not going to have them forever. Somebody else is going to have them. Somebody else is going to live in your house. Somebody else is going to drive that car. Somebody else is going to wear your clothes, okay? You're either going to lose them or you're going to leave them. The greatest blessings in life are spiritual, because you never lose them and you never leave them, and they're found in Jesus. So think about this. You don't need what you already have. I think you'd agree with that, right? You don't need what you already have. And in Jesus, you have all that you need. You've got all the love that you need. You've got all the patience that you need. You've got all the peace that you need. You've got all the joy that you need. You've got all the goodness that you need. I'm going to give you a very radical thought. And this really, I had to change my thinking when I read this verse. How often do we find ourselves asking for things that we already have? I mean, you know, think about it. We don't need as much as we think we need, because whatever we need, we already have. Because once you realize what you have in Jesus, you quit asking for God's blessings and you start accepting God's blessings and applying God's blessings. So, for example, we've all done this at times. Lord, I need more patience. And God says, "You have all the patience you need. I've already blessed you with it." Lord, I need more peace. God says, "I've already given you all the peace that you need. I've blessed you with every blessing." Lord, I need more joy in my life. God says, "I've already blessed you with all the joy that you need in your life." Now, let me just stop, call time out. I know, because if I were sitting in your chair, I'd be kind of a little skeptical too. I know you're sitting there going, "I'm not buying that. No. That's positive thinking on steroids. I'm not going there." I'm going to prove it to you. The moment that you give your life to Jesus. He gives you everything you need. Now, I'm going to prove it to you. When you give your life to Jesus, do you get Jesus? Yes or no? Okay, so you give your life to Jesus and you get Jesus, okay? When you get Jesus, you get everything that Jesus has. Yes or no? All right. So here's my last question. What does Jesus have? Everything. So this is what you just told me. When you gave your life to Jesus, you got Jesus. When you got Jesus, you got all that Jesus has. And what does Jesus have? He has everything. A woman walked into a bank one time, sat down. She said, the banker said, "Ma'am, how can I help you?" She said, "I'd like to open up a joint bank account." Oh, he said, "That's great." He got out a form. He said, "Now, who would you like to open that account with?" She said, "A millionaire." When you become a follower of Jesus, you open up a joint account with Jesus. You draw on all the resources that he has. So he's greater than the greatest. He is richer than the richest. So guess what? For your grief, you've got his grace. For your problems, you've got his wisdom. For your strength, you've got his weakness. For your needs, you've got his provision. For your sins, you've got his forgiveness. See, we think our problem is we just don't have what we need, when the real problem is not that you don't have what you need. The real problem is you don't realize you've already got it. All you've got to do is appropriate it. All you've got to do is simply apply it, because you can have it and get it anytime you want to. Let me give you a good example. There's so many of you, you may be a follower of Jesus, you may not be a follower of Jesus right now, and here's why you've never become a follower of Jesus. Because of the very issue we're talking about right now, you're saying, wait a minute. Can I tell you why I'm not a follower of Jesus? I can't even be a good me. I can't even get my own life together. I feel terrible about me. I can't even live up to my own standards. Now you're asking me to try to live up to the Christian life. You're asking me to try to live up to what Jesus wants me to be. I could never, ever do that, really. Well, let's listen to something else that a disciple named Peter wrote. Peter said, "His divine power," that is God's, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." When Jesus comes into your life, you know what he says to you? The bad news is you can't live up to what I want you to be and what I want you to do. The good news is you don't have to. I'm going to do it through you, and I'm going to do it through it for you. I'm going to give you the power to live up to what I want you to be. I mean, you think about this. I know some of you think, gosh, I've never heard this before. I've never heard the fact that God's already blessed us with all the blessings that we need to be all that we want us to be. That's such a, Pastor, thank you for such a new radical thought. Maybe radical. I wish I could take credit. It's not new. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. So what are you talking about? I want to read a verse of Scripture. I bet you're like me. I bet you've read this verse hundreds of times and you've never seen something in this verse. Watch this. Genesis 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We got that down. But then we kind of skip over the next four words. Read these with me. And God, really? Question. Did Adam and Eve ask God to bless them? No. Did Adam and Eve, had they done anything to earn God's blessings? No. At that moment, had they done anything to deserve God's blessings? No. God, he had barely put a breath in them, and he says, oh, by the way, I blessed you with every spiritual blessing. I bless you. Because God doesn't bless us because of what we do for him. He blesses us because of what Jesus has done for us. All right, so pop quiz, okay? Everybody ready? You're a follower of Jesus. Ready? Everybody ready? You're a follower of Jesus. What is your position right now? You are a what? Yeah, you're a saint, okay? Now, I know for some of you, you're going, gosh, I just find that hard to call me a saint. Can I be honest? I'm not going to tell you who. Some of you, I find it hard to call you a saint. We're just going to leave that aside, okay? But you are a saint. That is your position. God's declared you righteous, all right? Then realize your possessions. How many spiritual blessings do you have? All of them. You've got every spiritual blessing. God has emptied his treasure chest of every spiritual blessing so you can do anything he wants you to do and you can be everything he wants you to be. Now watch this. Once you realize your position, man, I'm a saint. And once you recognize your possessions, man, why would I compare what anybody else has with what I've got? I've got every spiritual blessing in Jesus. Then you can revise your perception in Jesus. Now you know and why to change your mind about the way you've always seen yourself. And in case I haven't still convinced you, listen to what else Paul says about those of us who are followers of Jesus. Listen. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Now, listen to what Paul says. Paul says, here's what God has done for you. He chose you. He loves you. He saved you. Now here's the coup de grace. Here's the cherry on the cake. He adopted you. He made you one of his own children. Now let me tell you what that means, okay? If God's chosen you and loved you and saved you and adopted you, I think we're safe to say that God has accepted you. And what's the one thing we are all born with from the time we come out of our mother's womb? We have this desire to be accepted. We all wanted to be a part of the in crowd. So we all wanted that emblem on our shirt, just like the cool kids wore. We all wanted the same shoes that the cool kids wore. We always wanted to be invited to the party that the in kids were invited to be. You know why? Because the one thing we feared more than growing up than anything else, we feared rejection. We feared being on the outside looking in. Now I want you to listen carefully. This is so important. Because of Jesus, God has accepted us. Because of Jesus, God has accepted us. You know what that means? That means you can't do anything so bad it would make God love you less, and you can't do anything so good it'd make God love you more. He just loves you the way you are. He accepts us just as we are. Now, here's the good news. Because of Jesus, God has accepted us for who we are. Then he changes us into what we need to be. And let me just tell you why I was pumped about this message. Couldn't wait to dictate it fast enough in my study weeks ago. Because there was a time in my life I struggled with self-esteem. I mean, I struggled big time until I finally understood what I'm telling you today, and it turned my life around. You say, you struggle with self-esteem? Yeah, let me tell you about my little story. My birthday is in December. For those of you who are generous and loving and want to treat your pastor right, it's December the 22nd. You might want to write that down, and I'm real bothered because I don't see a lot of people writing that down. So if you don't mind, if you got a pen, there's a pencil in front of your seat, December the 22nd. I'm just joking. I wear a large. Just joking. But here's my problem. Today they've changed it, which is a good thing. But when I was born, if you turned 6 any time in a calendar year, you started first grade. Now I think it's like August or July or something like that, which is a good thing. So when I started to school, I didn't realize that I was a year behind my classmates. I was a year behind physically. I was a year behind emotionally. I was a sickly kid growing up, so I was always kind of the smaller kid in my class. So guess who was the last person chosen? Have you ever had a girl chosen before you in a softball game? How many of you remember Red Rover, Red Rover? You remember that? They never asked me to come over. Furthermore, I was raised by a dad, and I loved my dad. My dad loved me, but my dad was very critical. He was just not just to me, just to anybody. He was very critical of me. And I grew up feeling like I would never be good enough to please my dad. So I didn't have a lot of confidence growing up at all. I guess that's what drove me so much to academically, because I wanted to be good at something. And I don't know exactly when or where or how, but I finally realized one day, my self-esteem can never come from what other people think about me. My self-esteem must come from what God says about me. And God says, I'll tell you how valuable you are. I chose you. I love you. I saved you. I adopted you. I accept you. And when that truth finally hit me, I finally understood, until you see what you are in Jesus, you will never be what God created you to be. That's why you've got to realize who you are in Jesus. You've got to center your identity in Jesus. Now, let me tell you why this is so important. Let me tell you why this is true for many of you who maybe have never accepted Jesus, and you think this Christianity stuff is just a bunch of junk and all that, and you're just not kind of buying into it. Let me just tell you, and you watch how this works out. If you center your life and your identity on your spouse or on some other person, you will be emotionally dependent. You'll be jealous. And you'll be a control freak. If you center your life and your identity on your work and your career and what you do and how much money you make, you'll become a workaholic. And you'll sacrifice your family and your friends on the altar of your success. If you center your life and your identity on money and on possessions and on things and on stuff, you'll become selfish and materialistic. And you'll worry all the time that you're going to lose what you have, which, by the way, don't worry, you are. If you center your life on pleasure, fun, the feeling of feeling good, you will wind up addicted to something. It may be drugs, it may be golf, but you'll wind up addicted to something. If you center your life on your goodness or even on your religion, if you live up to it, you'll be a self-righteous hypocrite that nobody can stand to be around. If you don't live up to it, you'll live with guilt all of your life. But when you center your identity and who you are in Jesus, you get up every morning secure in knowing that there's a God that created you, that loved you and chose you and called you and saved you and accepted you. And in that God, you can be who He meant you to be, and you can do what He wants you to do. I heard a black pastor say one time, and it's just in the inimitable way that black preachers can do it. He said, be who you is. Because if you is who you ain't who you is. That's great theology. That is fantastic theology. Be who you is. Because if you is who you ain't, then you ain't who you is. There was a mother that was talking to her 5-year-old boy one day, and she said, Johnny, she said, which came first, the chicken or the egg? She thought she had him, you know. He grinned real big. He said, oh, mama. He said, that's easy. The chicken came first. She said, how do you know? He said, because, mama, God doesn't lay eggs. You know, that's true. God doesn't lay eggs. You say, well, but you don't see me. You don't see the physical imperfections that I was born with. I'm not the best looking guy. And I'm not the most beautiful girl. And you don't see the fact, as a lady told me a while ago, I didn't even finish high school. You don't see that about me. You know, you don't see the way, and all the times in my life I blew it here and blew it there, and all the opportunities that I threw away. And I mean, you could go on and on. You can give me all of your laundry list. I get that. I understand it. Here's what I want to say to you. If you live your life looking in a mirror you will never see yourself the way you really are. If you live your life worried and fretting over what other people think about you, you'll never see yourself the way you really are. But when you look in this book and you listen to what the God that made you says about you, and you listen to what the God that made you says to you, and you believe it's true, then you will know then who you really are. I'm a saint that God loves so much, He has emptied His treasure chest of blessings so that I can have everything I need to be what I need to be and to do what I need to do. And I have been completely and totally accepted by the Creator of this universe. And in Jesus, that's who you'll be. That's what you'll have now and forever. Big question. Have you and your spouse been spending more time together than you thought possible these last few months? You have no doubt learned more things about each other, both good and bad. Let's celebrate marriage. Get away for a time of renewal in our relationships. I want you to join me and my beautiful wife, Teresa, as we head to Gatlinburg, Tennessee next spring to host the Reignite Marriage Retreat. We'll start on Thursday night, March the 25th, and finish by noon on Saturday, March the 27th. The entire weekend will take place at the Mills Auditorium in the Gatlinburg Convention Center. We'll spend time in the Word of God learning about marriage. We'll laugh a lot as comedian Tim Lovelace entertains us, and we will leave refreshed and renewed in our marriages. The Reignite Marriage Retreat will have very limited availability. You can visit touchinglives.org for all the details and to purchase tickets. Thanks for watching the broadcast today. I hope to see you in March in Gatlinburg for the Reignite Marriage Retreat.
This October, join Dr. James Merritt and friends in beautiful Branson, Missouri for the 2021 Mountaintop Conference. This Ozark city offers something for everyone, from world-class dining and live entertainment to unique shopping and outdoor recreation. There is an adventure waiting for you. This event will feature powerful preaching daily from Dr. Merritt, and joining him will be his friend, Bellevue Baptist Church's Dr. Steve Gaines. You will also get to hear from the legendary Oak Ridge Boys when they stop by to share some of their story. Enjoy incredible music from Grammy Award-winning Guy Penrod and one of Christian music's biggest artists, Crowder. Visit mountaintopconference.com for all the details and reserve your spot today. Touching the lives of the lost and enriching the faith of the found. This is Touching Lives with Dr. James Merritt. This broadcast is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.